Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 13. And may we in our hearts echo those words spoken through the Holy Scriptures from the mouth of Samuel. Speak, Lord, thy servant hear. Proverbs chapter 13. I'd like to look as we, again, going through this book, we're just taking it line by line, verse by verse. I'd like to look at verses 21 and 22. Proverbs 13, 21, evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous, good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. God's word declares, and history bears out this truth, evil pursueth sinners. Evil, that is bad, injury, unpleasantness, sadness, it runs out, chases, follows on. Sinners, that's what that word sinner there is a criminal, offender. One counted as guilty. You go back and start the scriptures, Cain killed Abel. First recorded murder took place. And the Lord made Cain a fugitive. Went through the rest of his life. Just evil followed after him. Ahab wanted a little old vineyard. Wanted a little garden. And it belonged to a man named Naboth. And Ahab, he cried and fretted about that little piece of ground. He and his wife plotted to kill Naboth. And the Lord said this concerning that murder: in the place where dogs have licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood. That very place. This world belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. And everything that goes on in this world is going to be weighed in the balance of God's holiness, justice, righteousness. Now, we could take that, as I've said before, the book of Proverbs is written such that anybody pick up the scriptures and they can read it, and naturally speaking, I mean just humanly speaking, morally speaking, it makes perfect sense. I mean, it's absolute truth. No doubt about it. Evil pursueth sinners. God's not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that's what he's going to reap. I just feel as though that everybody's against me. I'm just a victim of circumstance. No, it's your fault. No, that's just called the way it is. No. I know we could consider that scripture right there and consider the temporal. All the we can go through scriptures and look and see how temporary calamities are written or recorded time after time after time because of men's evil schemes, because of their wickedness and rebellion, and that men just it happens. It's going to happen. But if all we see, this is my point, going through the book of Proverbs. If all we see is temporary things right here, then I can assure you, rest assured, we miss the heart of it. Because remember this, these scriptures, these are they, the Lord said, that testify to me. So, whenever I first sit down, Book of Proverbs, I've told many of you, this is the hardest book I've ever preached out of. I'm telling you, when I sit down to prepare another message in Proverbs, believe me, I am quickly reminded and need to be reminded of my desperate need. Lord, help me here. This is a hard book for me. But I do know this, that unless we see the eternal issue here, then we've missed it. We see the temporary, and everybody say, well, I see that. I mean, but you're listening for Christ. I am too. Evil pursueth sinners. Numbers 32:23 says, be sure your sin will find you out. But what is the ultimate truth concerning that first part right there? Evil pursueth sinners. Let me show you the end result of that right there. Turn to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 11. Revelation 20:11, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face, whose countenance, whose glory, the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. That is, no place to hide, no place to run. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Evil. What the scripture says. Evil. Pursue it. Second. Evil. Judgment. Final judgment. The day of God's judgment is going to arrive. And in that day, ultimately, evil, the judgment of God, pursueth sinners. The spiritually dead shall be judged out of the books of God's law, the books of God's omniscience, the books of every man's action, thoughts, rejection of Christ. Oh, I think about those times that our Lord would tell, like Capernaum, these cities where he did most of his mighty works. He said, it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than it is for you. If the things done there, if the things that were heard here had been heard there. And this is amazing, but this is God speaking. He said they would have repented. And they would have remained until this day. I've said before, He knows not only what will and won't happen, He knows what could have happened had He willed it. If the preaching of the gospel had been done there, blessed there, they would have believed. I'm telling you, in the day of God's judgment, every time a man or woman ever heard the gospel and rejected it, every time they heard the message of God's sovereign grace and murmured at it, despised it, spoke against it, it's going to be brought up again. The dust that's knocked off, shaken off, where men have come, places, and preached the gospel. And men say, I'll not have that God reign over me. No, I'll hang on to my free world, free will, my good works. No. The books are going to be open. January 1st, 2012. I see a preacher. And you rejected it. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Oh, may God have mercy. Evil. Pursue it. All is out there. Light on the heels. Lord, teach us to number our days. Because evil, judgment, God's judgment. In that day when man tries to justify himself, rest assured, Almighty God is going to be just. Just in wrath or just in justifying a sinner in Christ. But God's going to be just. Evil. In that day, men will say, as Isaiah writes in Isaiah 59, 12, 13, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions, which are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt concerning and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Can you? We can't. But just suffice it to say, to stand before God and say that our transgressions are multiplied before thee, our sin testifies against us. Oh, in that day, to not have a mediator, one who has stood, one made sin, these transgressions right here, that they say, they testify against us, if he has not been made sin, made what we are, God Almighty has not dealt with him on our behalf, the substitute, the just, for the unjust to stand before God and say our transgressions are with us. One thing awaits every man that shall stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ without a mediator. One thing, evil, judgment unto damnation. Evil pursueth sinners. But to the righteous, good shall be repaid. Good shall be recompensed. Good shall be rewarded to the righteous. Those who are not righteous in themselves, they never, no believer, ever lays claim to be a righteous innocent. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We know that. I don't want to stand before God. I don't want to stand before God on the best time I ever tried to pray or read. If I tried to stand before God in just my Bible study, there's been times I've had to go back and reread it because all of a sudden my eyes just passed over. I didn't even read that. My reading of His Scripture be enough for disrespect. But to the righteous, those made righteous, holy, holy, justified in Christ, standing not in themselves, standing in Him. Scripture says, good, good, good shall be repaid them. Good, God's goodness, God's graciousness, God's mercy, the reward of His grace, that which He has everlastingly purposed to bestow upon them, upon the objects of His mercy, they're going to have in that day. Those that are righteous in Christ, they're going to have an inheritance. They're going to be recompensed. They're going to be rewarded. That's what it repaid. That's what it means. They're going to have an inheritance. Who are these that are blessed of God with an inheritance? I won't read the Scriptures. I'll just tell you what it says. I'll give you the Scripture. You look it up. Those, I tell you, the blessed of God, those, number one, chosen in Christ in eternal election. That's what Ephesians 1:36 says. Blessed, 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 chosen in Him. Those that trust the Lord. Those that trust the Lord. The exclusion, as I've said, God helped me to never quit saying that. Trusting the Lord to the exclusion of everything else. Those who fear Him, those who respect Him, those who reverence Him, honor Him, and respect the preaching of His Word at the exclusion of everything else. Everything else that is dumb. Everything else that would steal away from the hearing of the gospel. Those who sin are forgiven. Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Those, according to Luke 7:23, who are not offended by Him. They're not offended by the gospel of God's grace. They're not offended at God being sovereign. They're not offended at Him. Those who endure temptation, James 1:12. Why? Kept. Those that told to rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Great. Told forever in His presence. Beholding the glory that was given the Lord Jesus as the mediator, the surety, the redeemer, the great high priest, by the Father before the foundation of the world, to see Him, to be with Him, to witness. What a reward. Forever to be with the Lord. Never has entered into the heart of man that which God has prepared for those that love Him. To the righteous, this is what's said, good shall be repaid. Good shall be rewarded. They're going to have an inheritance. Inheritance. And that good that shall be repaid, it's going to have to come from Him who alone is good. There's none good but God. So it says, to the righteous, good. Eternal good. Eternal profit shall be repaid. Inheritance. Now let's consider now something about that inheritance. You're looking at two verses today. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. There'll be an inheritance for them. Here's what Scripture says concerning that inheritance. Verse 22, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. Now again, I say, well, you know, that you know, humanly speaking, well, humanly speaking, that truth may never come to fruition. It may or may not. Men may want to do something for their children, for their family, for their grandchildren, may want to. But maybe they don't have any inheritance. Maybe it was all taken by the government. Maybe the nursing home got it. Maybe medical bills just, man, we're just down to welfare now. I don't have anything left. Maybe a man's got means. Maybe he does have means, but he doesn't have any kids. He didn't have any children to leave it to. But this truth right here speaks of certainty. This is certain. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. I'll tell you this, there's only one lively hope that will be absolutely so. There's only one hope concerning that scripture that will absolutely never fail. A good man leaveth an inheritance for his children's children. Humanly speaking, you could say, well, what if this or what if that? So let me show you something that absolutely is never going to fail. You've read this before. We'll read it again. First Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. This is absolute. Good man. There's none good but God. There's none good but God. Let me show you a certain inheritance. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Here is the only certainty. Here is the absolute certainty concerning a good man. And like I said now, there's none good but God. So this scripture right here can only fit one. It'll only fit one. You say, well, I left my kids an inheritance. Yeah, but you're not good. That don't fit you. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, to his family. The elect of God, according to the abundance of God's mercy, was foreappointed unto an unspeakable blessing and inheritance in Christ Jesus, chosen to that inheritance, chosen to salvation, chosen to be sanctified, set apart in holiness by the Spirit of God. God Almighty has an inheritance that was prepared for you that know Him, that shall know Him, that will certainly be kept before the foundation of the world. Enter in, beloved of my Father, into the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. inheritance. Good man. Those who absolutely shall be regenerated and convicted of their sins, have Christ revealed to them their heart. They're going to know it in time. And the end of that election, the purpose of it, salvation of their souls. Saved by the grace of God, cleansed by His blood, justified in Him. And they're going to know. They're going to know. By faith of that incorruptible, undefiled inheritance. My Father has promised me in Christ an inheritance. I'm an heir of God. And a joint heir with Christ. What an inheritance. I mean, stuff that's left in this world, what is that? An inheritance. That's not going to endure. That's all going to be burned up. All of this is going to leave. Being His children by electing grace. Heirs. Heirs. A good man, Scripture says, leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Boy, you talk about struggle with that last portion of that scripture. Man, I looked at that and I just, Dave, I go home days. And I believe the Lord gave me some light on it. A good man. It started off by, in verse 21, evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. There's going to be an inheritance. A good man leaves it an inheritance to his children's children. Colon. And whatever follows is just establishing, just enlarging on what has just been said. The wealth concerning that inheritance, the wealth of the sinner laid up for the just. That passage of Scripture sets forth this truth. The inheritance that is given us in Christ, you know, is according to God's eternal mercy and goodness and grace and compassion. He alone who is good has left his elect an inheritance in Christ. Not because he saw anything good in them and that they deserved an inheritance. Because there's none good but God. But this inheritance was given for his namesake. Yet, by the grace of God, Almighty God chose out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, sinners, fallen in Adam, sinners, for whom the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and save. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners. Sinners. Paul confessed himself, I'm a sinner, chief of sinners. Brother Scott said so many times, what a badge of honor. That's the one that Christ came to save. Yeah, but you say, aren't all men sinners? Yes, but they're not all made to know they are. You find a sinner. You find one that God's taught of what they really are. And whenever God teaches a man what he is, truly what he is, a needy sinner, that's the man, the woman that's looking for a Savior. That they're not, and I'm not talking about one that just excuses them and says, well, you know, I'm just a sinner. No, with that attitude, you're going to perish. I'm talking about one that sees his neighbor sinner, the wealth of the sinner. The Holy Spirit will never allow a man or a woman on this side of the grave to forget what you are in Adam. You're never going to forget what you are in Adam. You don't have anything to glory in. You don't have anything to boast of. You don't have anything to be proud of. Pat yourself on the back. Oh, I've been faithful all these many years. No, you haven't. No, you have. I haven't either. The wealth of the sinner. One who is in himself nothing more than deserving of God's judgment. In himself, deserving of God's judgment. But thanks be unto God that Almighty God would not impute sin, charge them with it. I'm not saying that they don't produce it. I'm not saying that they do. And every sinner will admit what he is. I know Paul said, I know in me there dwells no good thing. That is in my flesh. I know that. Those made to see themselves and to know themselves what they are, the wealth of the sinner. You mean this sinner right here has hope? You mean to tell me that Almighty God made flesh to save this sinner? Yeah. Yeah. You mean to tell me that I've got an inheritance that's promised to me, what I am? You mean this sinner's got an inheritance that I can be found rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he's promised to them that love him? Yeah. You'll not find God's elect saying, I'm not as other men are. Not like that Pharisee. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One of them stood and said, God, I prayed thus with himself. He said, I think that I'm not as other men are. And here was this other one over here. He smote upon his breast. He wouldn't even look up. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Could that sinner one such as that? You mean to tell me that there's some wealth? I heard Brother Don Fortner preaching a message the other day on listening to it. He was talking about the rewards that men speak of in heaven, you know, all the crowns that they're going to have. He was reading out of Revelation that there was 24 thrones, 24 thrones, 24 elders around the throne of God. There's a picture of all of God's church. And he said all of the inheritance that every one of them had, says, had a crown of gold on their heads. And he said there was 24 elders. He said, you know, I just imagine. He said individually, that's collectively all of God's people, but just look at the Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. That thief that God saved moments before he left this world. Sitting on that throne? Yeah. Yeah. Almighty God is never going to allow a man to forget what he is. The wealth of the sinner, listen to this, is laid up for the just. He will ever remind us who we are in Christ. Lord, I am what I am, a the grace of God. Lord, the inheritance that I have laid up, Lord, you who alone were good, having left an inheritance to your people, to your family, to those chosen in you, and the wealth of the sinner is not in himself. Not in himself. He knows it. It's laid up. Laid up. An inheritance. Incorruptible. Undefiled. Reserved in heaven for you who are found to be just in Christ. In Christ alone, we ever declare, Lord, this is what I am in Adam. But thanks be unto God what you've made me in Christ. A sinner who is saved by the grace of God. May the Lord bless these words to our hearts for Christ's sake.